on this episode of Optimal Health Uncovered.
In terms of hydration, we want to make sure that we're not just drinking a ton of water right before a run. We want to make sure you're fueling your body with hydration and electrolytes leading up to a race and even days before the race as well. So just slowly increasing as we're tapering down on your exercise, your carbs should be increasing and your water should be increasing.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Optimal Health Uncovered's Marathon Monday podcast, hosted by myself, Britt Gunser, and Brendan Copley.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back.
Once again, our goal with this series is to provide those training for fall marathons with information that will be helpful. We want to provide you with information that is as useful as the banana that you get in your post-race bag. So think of us as your post-race banana. Today, we're going to cover nutrition and fueling while training for a long-distance event. Before we get into that, we have to congratulate Brendan on his first marathon, which he completed last Sunday. So can you humble brag a little bit?
Yeah, super, super grateful, first of all, for all the people that came and cheered and just made everything way more special to have family and friends there. So super excited, ended up running 2 hours and 59 minutes and 44 seconds. So cut it about as close as
photo finish
possibly can get. So yeah, really, really excited. Most importantly though, stayed injury free for the whole training cycle and for the whole race. So that's probably the thing I'm most excited about.
I'm going to just continue his brag. He also had pretty much perfectly even splits throughout the entire race and his goal was sub 3 hours and he Boston qualified.
Woo.
All right. So you're my hero. Back to our topic of the day, which is nutrition while training for and participating in a long distance event. Today, we have Ashley Jarrett with us. Ashley has a background in personal training and nutrition, most recently getting her master's in human nutrition through the University of Bridgeport, which has one of the best nutrition programs in the country. So Ashley, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me. My name is Ashley, and as Britt said, I did graduate from University of Bridgeport with my master's in human nutrition. So for the past probably roughly 5 years, I've been focusing on helping people achieve their goals, whether it's weight loss, whether it's fueling for different sports such as marathons, powerlifting, bodybuilding. I do bodybuilding competitions myself, so
cool.
We love that. It's a huge focus of, you know, making sure people understand how to fuel their bodies properly and making sure they're eating enough, making sure they're getting quality nutrition and feeling good and energized throughout anything that they're doing.
So, Ashley, we always like to start out with a quick glimpse of our own experience into the topic of the day. So with that, what did you eat before and after your most recent workout?
Okay, so this was yesterday. I pride myself on lots of carbs. We love that. So basically, what I do is I have my most carb-heavy meal right before I work out, roughly probably about an hour before I work out. I have cream of rice. It's by a company called Pride Foods, and it's delicious. I get the plain flavor, and then I add protein powder. I also add specifically frozen blueberries.
Okay.
And then I add salt and as well as Greek yogurt. So that's my kind of mixture of things. And then post-workout, I typically have higher fats. So I'll have grilled chicken, avocado, jasmine rice, and some sort of vegetable. And that's my go-to.
Awesome. Are you eating anything while you're working out?
If I have a super long workout, say it's when I'm in prep and I'm doing a 2 hour workout plus I have to do cardio, then I'll do quote unquote intracarb. So that could be rice cakes, things like that.
Got it.
Awesome. Yeah, you had me a little bit skitterish at first when there was no substance. It was like all plain flavor at first with the cream of rice, but then you added the blueberries. And I was like, okay.
Specifically frozen. And the protein powder has really good flavor, peanut butter and jelly.
Awesome. Alrighty. So let's start to get into the nuts and bolts of this here.
Yep.
I wanted to start off with the question of what advice do you give to runners for general fueling as their training starts to increase for either marathon training or just a race that's a little bit increased volume?
So I would say studies show that on average, runners can burn up to 100 calories per mile. So it's very independent and it depends on that person, what they're doing throughout the day, plus their run. So I think it's important to make sure you're doing the calculations and you're having somebody do them for you to really understand how you should be fueling your body. Of course, when we are increasing our training, including running, we do want to make sure that we are increasing our intake of food, and that includes protein too. So not only carbs. Carbs are a direct source of energy, but also protein, because we need that protein for muscle repair and recovery.
So basically, more activity equals we're going to need to take in more food, right? So can we get a little bit more detailed on that as to what do you suggest for grams of carbohydrates or electrolytes? Speak a little more towards that.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so in terms of your caloric intake, that has to be specific to you. We want to look at having about 55 to 65% of that intake being carbs for energy, 20 to 25% for fats, and 15 to 20% for proteins. Of course, that's very independent and on the individual, and like I said, their activity and just specific to their genetics. And then in terms of hydration, we want to make sure that we're not just drinking a ton of water right before a run. We want to make sure you're fueling your body with hydration and electrolytes leading up to a race and even days before the race as well. So just slowly increasing as we're tapering down on your exercise, your carbs should be increasing and your water should be increasing.
So you mean it's not like the Office episode where he crams pounds of fettuccine alfredo right before the race?
I mean, if you want to suffer on race day, I'm down for that. No, okay. I think it's important to make sure that you're eating quality foods that you know that your body can digest. So if you were having fettuccine alfredo leading up to the race, go for it.
Fettuccine it up.
But I think keeping it very simple is important. You want your gut to react properly to these foods. You don't, especially during the race, you know, you have anxiety, you have stress from the running, you have all these different factors that can really cause GI issues. So we want to focus on having foods that we've been having, not changing things, and also making sure that we're testing these foods out before we do them and intake them on race day.
Yeah, you definitely just hit two really important things that we will get into. Can you talk a little bit, because when we asked you, what did you eat for your workout before and after, you gave us specific timing. So what are your suggestions for eating before a workout or a race, during, and then after?
Sure. So considering a marathon, a long distance, we want to make sure that we're having a solid meal around 3 to 4 hours before that race. So then it gives your body the time to adjust. So that would be a full meal. And then I would say and recommend probably around an hour before, have something that is carb heavy, but simple carbs. So your body's absorbing it properly.
Can you give us some examples?
So examples of that would be, some people do potatoes, some people do dates, bananas. These are cream of rice. These are simple things that your body's going to absorb quickly and have that glycogen stores for your run. So you're enabling your body to use that as a direct source of energy. Having high fats before your race, you know, our body can use fats, but it's going to use the carbs first. So that's what we want to focus on, is making sure that we're fueling our body with those carbs first.
Okay. So some people have a little bit of an aversion to carbs due to an attachment that they might gain weight, or, you know, they might have, just for some reason, some sort of attachment to carbs. Would you be able to explain a little bit more what carbs do and why they're important?
Sure. So carbs are, number one, our direct source of energy. Number two, they fuel the brain, the central nervous system. So when we are not having enough carbs, we're going to start breaking down muscle. We're going to start losing energy. You're not going to have the pace or the focus to have that glycogen to get you through the race. So we want to make sure that we're understanding carbs, like I said a million times, are a direct source of energy. So if we're not having that and we're depleting our body of that, that's where you're going to get in trouble, especially on a long race day.
And the intra-workout gels, chews, whatever it is that you choose to use, what are those primarily made of?
So those are fast digesting carbs. They are, some are made of maltodextrin, some are made of fructose. So that would just be your sugar sources, and that's going to replenish your glycogen, your glucose levels, and increase it very fast. So your body's going to absorb it, your body's going to use it. And studies show that you should start doing that after 60 minutes of exercise. So that's really where you want to implement, you know, making sure that you've tested these foods out. So the all the different sources that they have for runners, whether it's the goos or whether it's the those waffle products, you know, you would want to test them out. Like we talked about before, GI distress is something that can happen. So if you're having a goo and it has all these ingredients that you haven't had, you can react to that. And you want to make sure you're having around 30 to 60 grams of carbs per hour after that.
And then what happens? What happens if you don't?
What happens if you don't is you're going to struggle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your energy is going to be low and, you know, you're just not going to be able to compete as high of a level as you should and that you could. You've been training for this for so long. So fueling your body is the number one thing you do. You, if you've done all the training, but now show day or competition day, you're not eating properly, you're just, your body's not going to show up for you.
Yeah. And the same counts for during training, right? It affects what you're able to do during your training runs. And then does it also affect your recovery if you're not eating during?
Yeah. So if you are not eating during your race, your recovery is going to be that much harder. That's where injury comes in, especially with the balance of protein, carbs, fats, and electrolytes.
Yeah.
So it is a whole picture. Of course, I'm not saying just have carbs. Everything is a factor.
I feel like we should have done a game where like we count how many times we say carbs in this one episode. I think we're at 322.
We should have had a sip of water for every mention of carbs.
All right. On the topic of not carbs then.
We still said it.
Darn it. What the heck? So on the topic of amino acids.
Then, there you go.
Some of the goos, especially, I think there's a version that's called Roctane, has amino acids in it. Would you be able to talk a little bit more about what the importance of having amino acids in your goos or in your fueling, and what's the difference between that and maybe the BCAAs?
Sure. Okay. So branched chain amino acids are four amino acids. We really want to focus on having essential amino acids, which is the full amino acid profile, and that's what's going to give us the repair. So a lot of people do exercise or like to run fasted. I don't recommend it, but if they are going to do that, I would say having that essential amino acids product is very important. So while you're running, having that is going to help with your recovery.
Okay. Also not saying the C word. Let's talk a little bit more about hydration, specifically electrolytes, because I know a lot of people just bring straight water and eat their carbs. I said it as they're working out or doing their run. And what are we missing from that simple equation?
Sure. So electrolytes are key to hydration. So especially when we're sweating, there's people that sweat more, there's people that sweat less. So that's something you also have to figure out as well, if you're a heavy sweater or if you're just an average. So things that you can use to kind of determine that is if you have the salt streaks on your sweat.
That's me.
Yeah. That's me sometimes. So that's very important. If we are not properly hydrated and don't have the proper balance of electrolytes in a long run and it's a hot day, that's where dehydration can come into play, dizziness, fainting, muscle fatigue, muscle cramping. You know, that's why at the end of a lot of marathons, you see people, their bodies just kind of give out because they haven't had a proper balance of electrolytes or carbs. Said it again. So the standard is every 32 ounces, you should be having, if you're a heavy sweater, 600 to 700 milligrams of sodium. If you are a quote unquote regular sweater, it would be 300 to 400 milligrams of sodium there. And also we want a balance of it. So we want sodium, we want potassium, we want magnesium. So a lot of those hydration products do have that. Bananas are great for magnesium. Dates are great for magnesium. And those are just other sources of carbs that are easily digestible to have during your run as well.
Yeah, I remember I was preparing for my last half and I was looking because I had just gotten those numbers for electrolyte balance and I was thinking, oh, okay, what does my goo have? And I was unpleasantly surprised, not to not goo, that's all I use, that it only had, I think, 60 milligrams of
sodium.
Yeah. And then I have a noon tablet, which the whole thing only has 300 milligrams of sodium. So it's like, and I'm a heavy sweater. So what are some other things that people use? Have you ever had people use the salt tablets?
I haven't had people use assault tablets, but I was researching that, and yeah. I think it's valid, especially for a heavy sweater. About 75% of the energy that you put into the exercise is converted into heat and then lost through your sweat. So we want to focus on, especially marathon, hydrating at least 48 hours before the start of your marathon. And that would equal 6 to 8 ounces every 2 hours. So roughly leading up to the day of the marathon, I would say 90 to 130 ounces of water per day. And then adding those electrolytes like we talked about before to that. Roughly about 4 hours before race, start slowly consuming 0.17 to 0.23 ounces of fluid per 2.2 pounds of body weight. This is just going to help avoid that, what we talked about before, fatigue, cramps, headaches, and dizziness.
So I think I have two questions to build off of that. How do we build caffeine into the equation? And then do you have any tips to avoid getting the side stitch? Because I know a lot of people are like, let me drink a bunch of water before I go do this race. And then within a minute, ouch.
Yes. So I'm sorry. Caffeine is life.
Agreed.
You know, it depends on your body. It depends on how you react to caffeine. I think that's definitely something, if you have to have caffeine, you should be testing that on one of your long runs before. So I would say an hour before your test run, consume a cup of coffee. I would keep it simple. I wouldn't add cream. I wouldn't add sugar. Just keep it black. And make sure that you, again, are testing that out. If you do have a reaction to caffeine, and even if you don't, you still can, considering your nerves. Caffeine can lead to anxiety, restlessness. It can lead to poor sleep before the race. So just make sure that you are testing this all out before. Also, it does have stimulation on the gut. So if you're prone to having digestion issues while you're running, this is just going to exacerbate it.
Right.
So it's important to know how your body's going to react.
So you talking about testing before made me think of this question. So I brought my Nespresso maker all the way from Connecticut.
Love that.
For my
Do you have the frother too? Because that's important.
You gotta have the frother. But it was, I mean, it sparked the question because I was like, I am so specific about what I want to be eating on race day. Do you have any recommendations for just general when you're traveling for a race and what you should be eating or what should you be drinking and how can you combat potentially, you know, you're over at a friend's house and they're offering you a specific meal or you're out to a restaurant and how do you work with that?
So I think you have to be confident in what you're doing and your goals. You know, myself with bodybuilding, I'm judged all the time. So I literally will call a restaurant and say, hey, this is the deal. Can I bring my meal? I don't mind paying a plating fee. Or I tell my friends if I'm going to their house, hey, I am on a specific protocol. These are my goals. If you have questions, ask me, but this is what I'm doing. And that's really
shameless.
It.
I love that.
That's awesome.
I feel like the more confident you are about what you're doing, they're going to see that and they're going to ask questions. And that's what I say about life in general. If you're on a specific protocol for your gut health, things like that, educating others helps you feel better and it helps them feel better.
That's awesome. That's really helpful.
So what did you do the night before your race? Did you go out or did you cook?
So we had a barbecue, or I guess like a kind of a family style dinner with myself and one of my other friends that was running the marathon. But I basically just made sure beforehand that the foods that were going to be served were things that my stomach already felt comfortable with. And Fair. We just sort of pre-approved the meal.
And we can bounce off of that with sodium intake. So
yeah.
Sodium intake is important, and we have to understand that, you know, everyone always says don't add salt, but that's really only if you have certain circumstances that you need to avoid salt. In general, an average person should be having around 2,500 milligrams of sodium a day. So if you're cooking all of your food at home, you're really only getting the natural sodium that's in the food, and you can actually be lower on sodium. So a good way is kind of maybe putting your food that you're eating in MyFitnessPal, and it actually adds up the amount of sodium that's in the food naturally. And then you can take from there how much sodium you need to be adding to your food daily, especially leading up to the race and race day. Of course, when we're eating out, there's higher sodium. There's really no way to track that. But again, if you are drinking enough water, you need the sodium. If you're sweating a lot, you need the sodium and the hydration. So
I've always found it fascinating how different the recommendations are for endurance athletes versus just the normal population. Like, so much of my life I've been told, you know, avoid sodium or avoid carbs. Like, there's so many things that are just so different than endurance
athletes. Oh, yeah. When I realized how low, like, because I cook all my food at home. So when I really looked at it, I was like, I'm literally having 1,000 milligrams of sodium a day. I mean, that's not good for you.
There are these memes online and it's like, what my parents think I do. And it shows someone like calmly running up a mountain and it's like, what I actually do. And it's a man like guzzling Cheetos for endurance while he's doing an ultra marathon. It's like, that's kind of what it looks like. So amazing. We've talked a lot about all of these things to avoid GI distress. So can you talk to us a little bit about why GI distress, what would cause it in the first place during or also after a long run, a race, whatever?
Yeah, so your body is just going to react, like I said before, nerves, things like that. But also we have the factor of the movement that you're doing, so the up and down movement of running. That can cause it within itself. I don't know if you felt anything while you were running or you were good, but we just want to make sure, again, that we're testing these things out.
He stayed silent on that one.
He gave me a look.
I tried noon while I was running for the first time, and I'd had a bunch of noon. I just didn't do it while I was running, and it was deceivingly bubbly.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was burping some stuff up.
That was not super fun. Cute. Prime example of why to test these things out before. We should have had this before your run.
Right, 100%.
Yeah. But I think it's just important, again, even after your race, to you don't want to guzzle a gallon of water. You don't want to throw all these foods that you haven't had into your body. A lot of people, I don't know why they do this. Maybe you can explain it. They go have a beer. I mean, it's all in good fun, but your body might not respond to that well. So again, your body is low on energy. So we just need to make sure that you're slowly eating foods that have salt in it, having good carbs, having good quality fats, and making sure you're getting that protein in. I read somewhere today that they called it like a shower smoothie. So
I do that.
You do?
Yes, I did it today.
I've heard of a shower apple, but...
Yeah, and I even clean the cup, rinse it out in the shower, and then put it in the shower.
Seriously? This is all new. But I think, you know, if you're able to go home after a race, I think do that. Take care of your body, let your body relax and really fuel it properly so that you're not like jumping into this like processed food meal that is just going to make your body feel cruddy.
Yeah. I think personally, something that used to happen to me was I was fine while I would run. And then the moment I would stop, it was like, oh my God, my stomach was terrible. And to avoid that, I thought, oh, let me take in less food and less fluid while I run. But the answer to it was actually to eat more and eat sooner after I finished. Hence why I do the shower smoothie, because it prevents me from getting nauseous. Otherwise,
I love that.
10 out of 10 times.
See, you found what works for you.
Found what works.
You know, another factor is avoiding certain foods before and during and after. So that would include, you know, sugar, alcohols in these products. A lot of people can have GI distress because of that. Avoiding high fibrous foods. So we want to avoid beans, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, like cruciferous vegetables. Also, a lot of products with gluten or dairy. Again, this is all personalized. If you are okay with gluten, have the gluten. If you're okay with dairy, have the dairy. But it tends to be something that your gut and your body can react to. And we don't know how your body's going to respond if you've never ran a race. So again, testing these foods out before, I think, is really important. And then in terms of the gels, you know, not over consuming them. So you have to really look at the product and see what the carb amounts are in those products. You don't want to be having two just because you feel like you're starving and then you ate too much and then your body responds to that. So I think it's important to just slowly have that while you're running. Like I said, 30 to 60 grams per hour after that first hour.
I have a friend and she's going to kill me for telling this story, but she ran her first, it wasn't her first half marathon, but she was like, hey, I heard that people eat these gels and the course was giving them out, and she started and like within the first 3 miles she ate three of them.
Oh no.
And she felt absolutely awful the rest of the day. She's like, I ate the gels, I don't know what happened.
Ugh. Yeah, you know, to bring something else up about that, my friends and clients have also done powerlifting competitions. So the standard powerlifting diet is like tons
Sour
of candy
Patch Kids.
Sugar Gatorade that has the sugar in it, and you know, you have to time it properly because you're doing your first lift, then you have to wait like an hour to do your second lift or attempts. And that's where you get that spike and then you get that drop. So they all end up feeling sick. They all end up having no energy. And that's why I say, like, sometimes real, quote unquote, real foods, whole foods are better. So having the dates, having the banana, having the potatoes, you're not getting that spike. Also, another factor would be glycemic index. So having the low glycemic index foods is going to give you that longer sustainable energy throughout your workout as well.
What would be some more specific examples of foods that are low glycemic versus high glycemic?
I mean, blueberries are great.
Frozen specifically?
Frozen okay. specifically of course, with a little salt on it because we love salt. I would say, you know, rice cakes are good. It's not like you can have that while running, but I've read people have like mashed potatoes in their pockets. Yep. I also saw, what else have I seen? I think just, oh, applesauce packets I think are good too.
But then those don't have quite the same bang for your buck energy wise, right? So you have to end up consuming more of that.
Yeah, I think that's where you really need to look at the actual nutrients of the product. So how many carbs are in this? What is actually in this? Is there added sugar? Things like that.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important, like read your nutrition labels.
Yeah.
Okay. So I typically have gotten just a huge amount of ads either via podcasts or via just whatever for supplements. So let's talk about supplements. Do you recommend any specific supplements specifically for runners? Where do you want to go?
Sure. I think the number one thing, it's important to get your blood work, right? Yes, we can supplement. Yes, we can give general recommendations, but having your blood work tested to make sure we know exactly what you need is important. A huge example of that would be both vitamin D and iron, and also B12. So if you're deficient in vitamin D, if you're deficient in iron, these are things that help energy production in the cells, and that's what is going to give us energy for our runs. So also magnesium, omega-3s, these are all things that we should get tested and supplement if we are deficient in them. Vitamin D comes natural from sunlight, but we can also supplement if it's winter and we're not getting that that sunlight.
So what about the ever popular green powders that constantly get out there?
I literally just had somebody text me about the green supplement. What's and I thought the truth? Of you immediately. I mean, you can find the truth or the not truth everywhere. I think it's important in a general rule of thumb to get your nutrients from real whole foods. And that's what I'm always going to stick with. I think, you know, they pride themselves on testing all their products, giving the nutrient information and putting it on our social media. Mm-hmm. So we read that. I think, you know, who knows what's in these products? I can't say they're bad. I can't say they're good. I really don't know.
It's just, do you need it? Do you need to be spending $75 a month?
Same thing with BCAAs. We need the essential amino acid profile. So BCAAs, if you are eating enough protein, you do not need to supplement. Like I said, essential amino acids, if you're running fasted or if you're working out fasted, go for it because that's what's going to help preserve protein and muscle. In general, green powders, you might feel good. I'm not going to lie about that. Yeah. Everyone says, oh, I feel so great. But are you looking at your nutrition intake? Are you eating vegetables? Are you eating fruit? Are you getting fiber in your diet naturally?
Right. Like eating garbage and then drinking a green drink each day is not, that's not enough.
No, that's not enough. Sorry. But again, do what you want.
Do you. So we've talked a lot about fueling during activity. Can you talk about recovery? What's the importance of nutrition with recovery? And what are some signs that your body needs a little bit more?
Sure. So I think the number one sign would be just general fatigue. I think if you are under fueling your body, you're going to feel fatigued throughout the day. You're not going to have the energy to get through these races or general workouts as well. If you're slowly increasing your runs, that's like we discussed, that's where we need to increase your fuel. Other signs can be injury. If you're constantly getting injuries, getting cramps throughout your workout, straining your muscles, these are all signs that you are not fueling your body properly. You're going to have lower performance, lower endurance levels. And of course, those can fluctuate throughout the week, throughout the day, depending on your sleep. That's something we should talk about. Maybe you guys are talking about in the future, but sleep is key. And nutrition has a lot to do with sleep as well.
Yeah.
So I would say just injury, fatigue, soreness. If you're not recovering and you're feeling sore every single day, that's a sign.
So relevant to this topic of recovery after a hard workout or a race. So there's certain days, obviously, that we have rest days built in. And I've definitely heard from clients or just from general questions along the way is, do you have to fuel the same amount on a rest day versus on the same day that you did, you know, your long run or a harder workout or even an easy day? What do you have to say for that?
Sure. So I think obviously leading up to a marathon, we're eating a lot more than we typically would. So, but in a general rule of thumb, I would say your regular workouts, your regular runs, no, we still want to be fueling our body the same on our rest days because that's when it's the fuel is working. That's when it's doing the repair. You're resting, you're sleeping, your body is using those nutrients to recover, to repair those muscles, to replenish your glycogen stores, all the above.
Okay, so still relevant to this concept is what would a recovery meal look like? And then what is the timing of this recovery meal?
Sure. So in terms of timing, I would say having it within the hour after your workout is important. The general rule of thumb used to be have it immediately after. You know, your body's still coming down from that, especially a long run. I think eating a meal right after your run, that might cause GI distress. So I would say 30 to 60 minutes after your workout. And we want a balance. So we want to make sure we're having enough protein. And that depends on the person. So female, height, age, weight, what their activity level was. But again, generally, I would say between 30 to 40 grams of protein. And then with that, you want to have around probably 60 to 80 grams of carbs. And that can be rice, that can be quinoa, that can be sweet potato. And then we want to have fats with that as well, because pre-workout, we're having low amount of fat. So now we want to add the fats in. Fats are important for hormone health. Fats are important for, you know, our sustained energy. So I think just having that full meal, fueling your body properly, and that's going to help with repair, recovery, and you feeling good.
Yeah, I guess going back to your initial question of why people sometimes have the beer like right after the race, it's like you've treated your body as a temple for so long that eventually you're like, get to the finish, you're like, screw it.
I don't know why I'm talking about that, because bodybuilders after their show, they literally have cookies, cupcakes, cheese. I literally had pizza, a cheeseburger, I had cookies, so I guess I'm being a hypocrite.
But I think what you said at the end, though, there's a lot of value in that, is it's not just about the performance too, right? It's just about your overall health. Like you're just going to feel better if you treat your body in a way that actually, you know, replenishes its stores and appropriately.
My second to last show, I literally was like, I don't want any sweets. I do not want them. And I literally had my cream of rice and protein powder with some ground beef on the side, and I was completely satisfied. Wow. That's what my body was craving. Sometimes you just have to listen to your body and give it what it wants. If it's beer, I mean, more power to you.
maybe wait a little bit to feel refueled before you have that beer.
But I can't fathom drinking a beer.
Also,
afterwards.
Beer, alcohol, dehydration.
Totally.
Same thing with coffee. Coffee is a diuretic. So that's why we don't want to be chugging coffee before our runs.
After the Berlin Marathon, I was so cramped that I could barely get up a curb. And I see this sign that says hydrant. And I'm like, oh, there's water.
Oh, no.
Full of beer. Just cups of beer. Like, all right. We are in Berlin, aren't we?
Yeah. Love that. Love that for you.
So I guess we'll finish off with some fun questions. Go ahead, Brendan.
All right. So we have, what is the worst nutrition advice you've ever heard? And what's the best nutrition advice you've ever heard?
Ooh, okay. I think generally whole foods, best nutrition advice, Mediterranean diet, fueling your body properly, cooking your own food. You know, yes, it's enjoyable to go eat out, but a lot of the time we don't know exactly what we're eating, whether there's a lot of added oils, and it's most of the time not olive oil, you know, a lot of added sodium, which is fine, as we talked about, if you are not getting enough sodium at home. But if you're constantly eating out and having those meals with high sodium, that can add up. So I would say a general rule of thumb, whole foods. And then in terms of the worst advice, oh my gosh, there's so much.
This is the fun stuff.
Yeah, this is the fun stuff. I would say I've had so many people do the craziest things. And, you know, we all want to learn, right? So there's always going to be something that somebody can learn. So whether it's having these processed foods of, you know, fad diets where they're giving you packets of, I don't know, things that you make a meal out of a packet, literally.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of gone down the drain, but it's still around in some
or those
way.
Skinny teas.
Yeah, the skinny teas. Oh, remember those?
Awesome. Oh my skinny gosh. Teas.
Did we all fall for that? Because I think I did.
I don't think I ever did. I think was a long time I was ago. Gravely afraid of those. And that, I think I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
All right. My favorite question, and please don't hold back here because answer was pretty embarrassing. What is your number one hype song pre-workout?
Oh my gosh.
Or during.
You know, I'm one of those people that I can work out without music.
See, I respect that.
But I would say, I don't know. Right now it's called Say Something.
Okay.
I forget the artist, but, and also I'm all about Ja Rule. Ja Rule.
Ja Rule. Like there we go. Okay. Clap Back by Ja Rule. Okay. Good.
What's love? We'll go with that. What's love is the number one. I
love it. So thank you, Ashley, for joining us today. Thank you, listeners, for listening to Optimal Health Uncovered. Just a glimpse ahead. Moving forward, we're going to be talking about mental performance, footwear, and the importance of a running support group. And we'll have experts in all of those respective fields joining us. So it will be more of this format where Brendan and I make fools out of ourselves and someone answers questions.
Go carbs.
Go carbs.